The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not a no. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, a lot of really good stuff just all over the place. Mostly stuff. Because mostly we've been doing sports for the last 2 days. So we thought we should do some stuff. But
Dan wants to know, and I'm assuming you must have blocked Dan on Twitter.
Okay.
But he said, ask Falcon, was Richard Justice a diva?
I'm not going to answer a question to somebody I blocked. If you did something to get blocked on my Twitter.
I don't know if he's actually blocked, but okay. He did ask me to ask you that.
Well, I'm not going to answer that. So if you tweet me directly, still not going to answer it. But
okay.
If I had to block you, then no. So, because if I blocked you, you were way out of line. I'll just say that. I've gotten where I block people for lesser things now. But you're still probably a lousy human being. I'll just tell you that. But it is What Are the Odds Wednesday, so put odds on it. And no, I'm not going to name names. I'm just telling you that compared to newspaper reporters and editors, you guys aren't divas.
Okay.
Now, you might be divas, but on the scale, it's not close.
Okay.
So, what are the odds Texas basketball makes it past the second round of the tournament this year, AJ? That one's for you.
That's tough. I mean, the tournament's a long way away, but they're so much better than they were last year. And they're one of the best defensive teams I think you'll find. It's just a matter of if they hit their shots. And they shot epically bad last year, and they finished last place in the Big 12. So, for me, them getting to the tournament would be a nice step.
Well, but I've been impressed so far, even in the losses. I mean, Duke, there's no shame in losing in overtime to Duke. There's no shame in losing to the Zags in overtime. You'd like to see him pull one of those out, but
yeah.
Still.
Well, especially the Duke one, because they were dominating that game. The Gonzaga game, they basically had to come back and make it a game.
Yeah.
But the Duke game, they had it in hand. So, but I mean, it's a young team. They've got some really good talent on that team, and they're going to be. I think they'll make the tournament. I don't know if they'll win more than two games. That might be asking a lot.
What are some of your NFL locks this weekend? I use my book. We have no locks.
There's no lock.
There's no such thing as a lock, no matter what you might hear. There's your best decision based on the data that you have. I'll give you one game I like though. I do like the – I'm going to just keep fading the Browns until they actually cover.
God, 14 is such a massive number.
It is, but –
but I don't blame you for doing it.
But they keep losing by 16, 18, and the Chargers are playing better. I'm on that one.
Chargers are really good.
Yeah.
I'm not faulting you for that.
713-780-ESPN. So I saw – this is kind of a – oh, did you see ESPN's laying off another 150 people? I know we've been talking about that for a while. It looks like these are going to be behind-the-scenes people.
Nobody we know.
Well, I won't say that because I don't know who's gone yet, because I do know a lot of behind-the-scenes people. And hopefully there won't be that, you know, that many that I know. So, 2004, November 21st, 2004, was the last time Eli Manning didn't start for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the newspapers there went and put together some of the things that were happening at the time. I always like when they do this. Ashley Simpson's Piece of Me was released.
I don't know if I know that song.
I don't know that one either.
John, can you play that? Give me some of that. Let me
How about this?
Refresh my memory.
Geno Smith was so young he couldn't go on a school field trip without a permission slip. He was 14 years old.
And what happened the last time? This 2004. Four? Okay.
Facebook was still just a fun project to get Mark Zuckerberg action in his Harvard dorm room.
Good for him.
Ben McAdoo was offensive quality control coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. Ryan Reynolds had just got engaged to Alanis Morissette.
God, what a strange pairing. Ryan Reynolds didn't realize his arrow was going up as high as
hers was going down, and she basically had one album.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic, it says. The Motorola Razr was the iPhone before the iPhone.
God, did you ever have a Motorola Razr?
I think I did, yeah.
I used to think it was like the coolest thing you could have. It was so small. I mean,
I might have skipped that one and went right to the BlackBerry.
Okay.
Because that was like the first fancy one I had.
Yeah.
And then I dropped it in the toilet. Napoleon Dynamite was released. Here's a creepy one for you. Yes, it's from Bro Bible. They did this. Jared Fogle founded the Jared Foundation, a nonprofit organization focused on educational programs for kids.
Oh, no. It's a trap.
Lindsay,
I'm not going to say anything about that.
Really?
No.
Really?
No.
And then Lindsay Lohan did her famously bad New Year's Eve performance in 2004, apparently.
All right.
I'm trying to think. What was I doing in 2004? I know exactly what I was doing. That was, I had just moved up to sports editor in 2004.
I had just finished school, and that's what the year I started in radio, late 2004 or fall of 2004, I started in radio.
Yeah, I was a freshman in college.
Nice.
Because yeah, I actually started radio. I left the Chronicle November 1st, 2007. And so it's been 10 years now, because I started radio at 1560 about a week later, doing a free show with David Nuno. I wasn't getting paid.
What were you doing it for? Just for reps?
Just to see if I liked it.
When was that?
2007. And I just wanted to see if I liked it.
Yeah.
And
was David Nuno getting paid?
Yeah. Yeah, he worked here at the time. It was before he was too pretty for radio, so he had to go to TV at some point.
Yeah, he's a big star now.
Yeah, but he was here. And so did the show with him, and then went over to 97.5, I think, in March of 2018. And that's the first time I got paid for actually doing radio.
March of 2018.
Or 2008, excuse me. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, duh.
Are you trying to tell us something?
Yeah. What are you doing here? What's going on?
That was supposed to stay in my head. That was supposed to come out. Daniel, that's where the odds. Vrabel will continue to stand Clowney up against the Titans. I think they'll use him all. They used him all over the place. They stood him up some. They used him at defensive tackle. I like the way they're using him. And I kind of wrote this because that was the only thing I could think to write about. Monday night was, Jadeveon Clowney's pretty good at sport. He's a bright side. But what I think, and correct me if you disagree with this, I think he's benefiting quite a bit from J.J. Watt not being there, because they're using him in every possible way. And, when Watt's there, they use Watt that way a lot. And so from a personal standpoint, I think he's better because he's not there. I'm not saying you're not a better team if J.J. Watt's there. I'm just saying for him.
Well, the way they use J.J. is unfortunate for him.
Right.
Because he's more suited to play all those positions than J.J. is. J.J. to me should be on the end with his hand on the ground and just smashing into people. But I think he misses Merciless maybe even more than J.J. I would say that. Because having, he's double or triple teed all the time now. But speaking of the NFL, did you see that the Cowboys and Giants, who are, we would agree, probably two of the maybe five or six most popular NFL teams? Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Well, Cowboys are probably the most popular, I would guess. Giants are, I would say, higher than six probably. But
Cowboys, Patriots, Steelers, Packers. Giants would probably be my top five.
Yeah, I don't think you go any further than five with the Giants. Yeah.
Maybe Raiders.
Maybe.
Maybe Broncos. The Broncos have a pretty big following.
Yeah, I think the Raiders lost a lot because they were so bad for so long, but now that they're kind of back, and once they're in Vegas, I think.
But the Giants are up there.
Yeah.
And obviously two very popular teams, big rivalry. They got flexed out of the afternoon game, the late afternoon game on Sunday for a Jacksonville game.
How the mighty have fallen.
They bumped the Cowboys to noon, and the Jags Seahawks will now go to the...
You don't want to see Geno?
No, I don't want to see it. I mean, I kind of want to see it.
Well, did you say how low the ratings were in Houston for the Texans the other night?
It was the lowest Monday night football game of the year.
Well, nationally, and even in Houston, it was under 20, which is never
happens.
People
don't care anymore. Yeah. They've given up hope. But keep hope alive is no longer a thing here.
There is no hope.
Nope.
There is no hope. What are the odds some of the new ESPN Houston shows y'all have now aren't going to last? I've been a longtime ESPN listener, and I'm not liking the new lineups. Give it time, man. John and Lance is as good as you're going to find, not name the Blitz. I mean, give that show time. As to the others, I mean, I like all those guys.
I haven't heard any of the shows. I don't know.
But I don't, yeah. I mean, I hear Barry sometimes.
But I want those shows to do well. That's all,
yeah.
As
long as they do great. That's
but
all I care
the
about.
Reality is, if they don't do great, then I mean
that's
life. Not my problem.
Yeah,
I learned a long time ago. Worry about what goes on between 4 and 7.
Yep,
you know, because that's what concerns me. So if Fred and I do our thing, we'll be okay.
Yeah, that's
I can't worry about what's going on with the rest of the lineup.
That's what we
The lineup at this station has changed so much. From when we started to when we first got put in afternoons, and really lineups at every station in this market have changed. And because
it's pretty rare that we've been in this spot as long as we have.
Yes, because I believe the reason why we've been here for as long as we have is because we both have that mindset of worry about what's going on from 4 to 7.
Yeah, and so I don't really pay too much attention to the rest of it. And yes, I'm involved with a lot of the company, but it's more on the other end of it's on the website end and things like that. I don't really worry too much about that, but I am happy that John and Lance are back together. What are the odds you can make a living on radio hosting alone? I could, but I don't want to.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that pays the bills.
Yeah.
Everything else I do is gravy.
I'm hanging in there.
And plus, I'm lucky enough to have a wife who's a good earner. She's a healthy earner.
Yeah, mine's not.
But no, I
mean, John earns a living on a radio producer's salary. I mean, or
no, he's program coordinator.
Yeah, he makes a living on a program coordinator.
He's a coordinator
job.
Yeah, which means a head job is next for him because he's a coordinator.
I don't know. Like,
I have side gigs on the weekend.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Look, I mean, Barry does comedy. I don't think Joel has another job. But Joel's wife's a good earner, too.
Yeah, yeah. I actually saw her on TV this morning because I was tuning in just to see what the weather was going to be like.
Yeah.
She was on there.
Raheel doesn't have another job. Well, I guess Raheel technically has another job here, right? He doesn't just do radio.
Yeah, he does digital stuff.
Yeah. Maybe I'm the only one who has who just lives on a radio salary.
You're doing some writing for SportsMap for me.
Yeah, I haven't gotten paid for any of that yet.
Well, have you turned it in?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well.
I gave you
the instructions. That's all I can do.
That's on me.
Yeah, that was my afternoon today, was trying to get everybody paid that had submitted invoices, and the system sucks. So, like, I thought I had everybody in there right, and then I had to go and redo it. Just pain in the ass. That's no fun. What is fun is making money the other way that we both earn money, which is a little sports betting or a little horse betting or whatever you want to do. And MyBookie has you covered. Holiday cash, you need it. MyBookie. There's going to be tons of football. You have bowl games coming up. Basketball, if you're in on that. Hockey. Now's the time. MyBookie.ag has you covered. The best part, super fast payouts when you win. And that's what I like the best, because other sites, sometimes I'm having to wait a week. Or saying, oh, well, if you do Bitcoin, you get it right away. That's not the case with MyBookie. You can do Bitcoin if you want, but if you want cash, they're going to get it to you right away. And I have bet on a lot of sites, as you probably know by now. This is the only one that I trust. And if you want to make money, you got to go to MyBookie.ag. And the cool thing is they've got a great mobile site as well. You can actually bet ponies on their mobile site, which you can't on most of these others. And that makes it. And you also obviously can do your sports bets. You got in-game betting. So many things to choose from on MyBookie. Give them a try. Your initial deposit, they're going to match with up to a 50% bonus if you use promo code Fred. That's right, promo code Fred, F-R-E-D. Very easy. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. That's MyBookie.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Republic Harley Davidson. And from the moment you walk in that showroom, you're going to be blown away. It's packed with a huge selection of new and pre-owned Harley Davidsons. And right now, they've got Their hours are 7 days a week. They've extended their hours 7 days a week during the holiday shopping season. That's 7 days a week. It means plenty of time for you to check out and test drive that newer used Harley that you've been dreaming about. You're going to feel welcome from the moment you walk in the door until the moment you ride away. They are the friendliest Harley-Davidson dealership in the city. They know you've got a choice when it comes to choosing your dealership in Houston, so they're committed to making a trip to Republic Harley-Davidson the best experience possible. And whether you're an experienced rider or someone new to the lifestyle, they've got something for you. They've got an award-winning service department that can keep your Harley operating at peak performance. If you need a riding lesson or you just want to learn to ride better, you can do it the Harley-Davidson way. Give them a call to sign up for the new rider course or the skilled rider course to take your skills to the next level. And of course, for Christmas, the rider in your life definitely wants more Harley-Davidson gear. Come check out all their selection of clothing, riding gear, memorabilia, men's apparel, women's apparel, riding jackets, helmets, gloves, boots, sunglasses, hats, everything Harley-Davidson they've got there at Republic. Don't miss out on the holiday open house this Saturday. They've got refreshments, demo rides, music, door prizes, factory-approved promotions, and all the departments. They've got financing for everyone. They're open 7 days a week during the holidays. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley Davidson.
On a Monday, I am waiting. Tuesday, I am fading.
And we're back on the Blitz. Happy Wednesday. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday.
This is the Ashley Simpson song.
I've never heard that in my life.
I don't know. I got to get to the hook.
Hold on, let me back it up a little bit.
I don't know that I've ever heard that. I was hoping you were going to come back with some Alanis Morissette, like her.
She does it for you.
Her doing it in the theater. Yeah. And one of the things I want to
theater.
I mentioned lineup. Yeah, but her voice is kind of annoying. But short term listener, I dig LZ and John. Flipped to Palillo at 11, and then listen to you guys on the way home. Got Media Empire's Real. That's one of the reasons why we have 94.1 is so that you have some options.
Yeah.
And if you don't like what you hear in one spot, you can flip over there and catch stuff over there. And somebody said, I know Mike and Mike in it, but why don't we get Golic and Wingo in the morning? You do. You get 2 hours in the morning here, and then it's over on 94.1. Is that correct, John?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you can still get it.
What are the odds the Chargers make the playoffs?
I think they will, honestly.
I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, I think the Chargers, I said this earlier this week, I think the Chargers are the second-best team in the AFC. I think they're better than the Steelers. If the Steelers and the Chargers played right now, I'd pick the Chargers.
One of the things that we've talked about, you talked to Jim Lampley earlier. Maybe we'll do that next segment.
Yes.
That sound good? Florida State preparing for Jimbo Fisher's potential departure. I mean, there's so much smoke around this thing by now. Apparently, a person with knowledge of the matter told USA Today Sports that Florida State administrators have started preliminary background checks into candidates, including Oregon coach Willie Taggart. So, I don't know if this is real or not. It's sounding more and more.
Yeah.
And Willie Taggart, there's two things that I'm kind of surprised by, that Willie Taggart would leave after 1 year.
Yeah.
Especially a job like Oregon, which is
a good job.
Look, Florida State's a better job, but not by much, and it just depends on where you want to live. The other one that has popped up in the Tennessee search, Jeff Brohm, which
okay.
I have to say, if Tennessee gets him, that's a great get, but you're leaving after 1 year at Purdue, and I know Purdue's not as good a job as Tennessee, and it's hard to win there. But, man, that's a big school that gave you a chance.
Yeah.
And you're going to bail after a year? Same thing with Willie Taggart. I got to say, I don't respect that. I know this may be a big job for you. You think, oh, this is my once-in-a-lifetime chance to get Florida State. Well, maybe not. Maybe if you win the Pac-12 a couple times, you'll get a chance to go wherever you want.
Good.
Maybe if you turn Purdue into a 10-win team instead of a 6-win team, you can write your own ticket. I don't like that. I don't like when guys – and I don't know that either one of them is going to take the job. I don't know that either one would take it. But I got to say, I don't like that at all. Both those are former Western Kentucky coaches,
yeah,
too. I like Jeff Brohm.
Tennessee.
That was the guy last year. I said, if Tennessee winds up with him, that's a hell of a get. But I don't like guys leaving after a year.
Man, poor Tennessee. They threw – a giant pile of money at Mike Gundy, and he was still like, nah.
Yeah.
This place is a mess. I'm out.
Yeah. And he kind of tweeted out Cowboy for Life, and I'm kind of like, yeah, I bet he's a Cowboy until, oh, maybe Fisher doesn't go to A&M and they make that call.
Maybe. I mean, but, yeah, I'd listen to A&M before I'd listen to Tennessee at this point.
Yeah, well, especially when you start looking at what's going on with the administration there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
It's in rough shape.
But they could wind up landing way on their feet if they get Jeff Brohm. Because I like that guy a lot. I wonder what's going to happen at Arkansas. Well, that's another job that's kind of...
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen a lot of rumors there, except for when it was briefly brought up that Malzahn might want to return home. I don't think you do that now if you make the playoffs.
I don't think so either.
But, I mean, that's another job that could be pretty good. Let's take a phone call. Robert, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, sports guys. How y'all doing?
Sports.
Hey, I was just seeing, what are the odds that you think that on the next draft that comes around for the Texans, do you think that they'll draft more for offense to get some protection? Or you think that they will have more going for secondary to fix that defense?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because they don't really have draft picks. I mean,
well, they've got, on what they're going to wind up with 3 third-round picks, basically, because they have 2 now. They're going to get a comp pick for Bouye,
yeah,
which is certainly going to be a third-round pick. Maybe move up into the second round. But here's the thing. Somebody asked me this on Twitter about their evaluating in the drafts and why they seem to do better with unsigned free agents, other than the first round, where they've done historically very well. And I don't think it's so much player evaluation as it is position evaluation. They have not drafted well in the offensive line. Now, they have invested picks in it, going back to Brandon Brooks and Antoine Caldwell and obviously Xavier Suofilo. Now, I like Martin. I think they might have got that one right. But they've invested a lot of second and third round picks. Brennan Williams. A lot of crickets there.
Yeah.
And when they've invested picks in cornerbacks, it hasn't really worked out. Traded up to get Brandon Harris. That was a fail.
Kevin Johnson's a...
You know, Kevin Johnson's... But that's a first-round pick, so, I mean, I hasn't hit yet, but he hasn't sucked.
Well, but he hasn't been on the field.
Well, that's the problem. He's been... He was really good last year till he got hurt. This year, he hasn't... He's been good in run support, not so much in coverage. But I still think he can be pretty good. I'm not ready to go early Kareem Jackson on him. But you look at... They found some guys off the street at cornerback who are pretty good.
AJ Bouye.
Yeah, that's one of them. But they also, and I think same thing with safeties. I think their evaluation of draft picks at those positions is not very good. And I would say offensive line, I'll throw wide receiver into that mix because you got Hopkins in the first round. Again, we're excluding the first round from this conversation.
Okay.
But Jalen Strong, how did that work out?
Oh, yeah. Braxton Miller.
DeVere Posey, although he's a CFL superstar. DeVere Posey,
he beat you.
Yeah, he did.
He cost you money this week.
Bastard. CFL superstar. And he looks great up there, but that's a different game. But yeah, you look at all those positions, and so I look at what do they draft well? Linebackers. Now, you got Bernhardrick McKinney in the second round. Cunningham looks like he's going to be a player. I think they've, you know, Brennan Scarlett, they got off the street. But for the most part, the linebackers they've drafted have been pretty good. And defensive linemen, like Christian Covington, they got late.
Yeah.
DJ Reader, they got late. Those guys can play. So maybe what they should do.
Is only draft.
Only draft linebackers and defensive linemen, and then sign the rest in free agency.
Okay. Might work.
Yeah, that or hire some new scouts on these other positions. Because, and I don't want to go down and start breaking down their draft again. But I thought it was a good question because there are some things where they have found, and frankly, I think at running back, they've done a pretty good job for the most part. I think Deontay Foreman was on his way to being a really good player for them.
Could be. So, yeah, Alfred Blue's the serviceable backup running back.
Yeah.
Nothing special, but he's
solid, and
he's fine.
Yeah, for where they got him.
Yeah,
Travis goes, are these the same Chargers that lost to my Dolphins? What was that, week 2?
Yeah, this.
And things change, Travis. Go ask the Chiefs when we were all crowning Alex Smith MVP after week 5. How's that looking now? Crickets.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Was that one of the games where the kicker? The Chargers lost because of the kicker. I'll have to go back and look.
I'll have to look, too.
But, yeah, well, they lost their first 4 games, and 2 of them were
because... The first 2 were because of the kicker.
Yeah. I think it might have sent it to overtime in that game. I don't think it would have won that game. I could be wrong. I'm old, and I drink a lot. But God, doesn't it seem like week one was forever ago?
It was forever ago. I thought about this the other day. We're running out of football.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. That would have won it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They lost 19-17 week two.
All right. So it was week one was the game that, yeah, they would have tied the Broncos, right?
And gone they would have tied the Broncos, gone to overtime.
So he missed, and then he cost them the game in week two.
And then they lost to the Chiefs, who were unstoppable at the time.
And the Eagles.
And they lost to the Eagles. Their other two losses, at New England, at Jacksonville in overtime.
Yeah.
Now, what they do lack is great wins. But, again,
you know what, though?
Everybody lacks those.
Yeah, I also think you look at their schedule now. Browns this week, that's a walkover. At the Redskins at home next week. They get to play the Chiefs again, and that'll probably...
At the Chiefs.
That'll determine maybe the division champ. Although I'm not ready to write the Raiders off yet. At the Jets, and then they get the Raiders again. So I think they could very well wind up winning their division.
It could happen.
Yeah. So
you know what else could happen? You could get new windows.
Armageddon. Oh, okay.
You could get new windows from Window World. When it comes to energy-efficient windows for your home, the Houston area is choosing Window World because you get the best for less. Window World, they're offering a premium quality, double hung, double pane window for only $189. $189 any size installed with a lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage that's fully transferable if you sell your home. What a great deal. Guys, Window World, they're ready to give you a free estimate in your home with no pressure and no gimmicks. Here's how it works. You give them a call, 713-439-1172, or go to windowworldhouston.com. They'll come out. They'll look at your house. They'll tell you what it'll cost to get the house done. And then they'll leave that piece of paper with you, and they'll walk out your door. And if you like what they had to say, you call them back and say, hey, Window World, I like that estimate you gave me. Come do my home. And in most cases, they do it in less than a day. And if you don't like it, you never hear from Window World again. It's really simple. It's really low pressure. 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. It's Window World, simply the best for less. All right, I'm going to tell you about Texas Star Grill Shop, the anniversary grill sale still happening at Texas Star Grill Shop. Stop by today for the best prices on all the great brands, Traeger, Weber, Kamado Joe, Napoleon, Saber, Green Mountain, Pits and Spits made right here in Houston. That's the one I got. Don't make that big box mistake and go think that you're going to get some grill at one of those big box stores and think it's going to last, because it's not going to last. It's a piece of junk. To be honest, the team over at Texas Star Grill Shop will help you choose the grill that's right for you. And, you know, that it helps. I went in and I told them exactly what I wanted to do with my grill. I like to smoke meats, so they put me on something that I could smoke with. If you just want to grill steaks and things like that, they can hook you up with that. They'll point you in the right direction. Napoleon grills offer the ability to switch to charcoal. Many of the models have an amazing sear zone to make that perfect steak. It's a great brand. They've got all kinds of them over there at Texas Star Grill Shop. Always free delivery and assembly. They've got sauces, rubs, spices to help it all taste better. Get a grill that's going to last and enjoy the holidays with family and friends, and save big during the anniversary grill sale. Stop by the Texas Star Grill Shop located Shepherd and 59 in Houston and on Luetta in Spring. TexasGrillShop.com. Texas Star Grill Shop. We have your grill.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program, comes from HBO. He is the voice of boxing these days. HBO presents Miguel Cotto versus Saddam Ali on Saturday night. Jim Lampley joins us. Jim, how are you, good sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
We're doing well. This is the 47th time that Miguel Cotto will fight, and apparently will be his last fight. Do you have any memories of Miguel Cotto's career that jump out at you as the greatest?
I have 1,000 memories of Miguel Cotto's career. It's one of the most memorable and poignant of modern boxing careers. I will never forget the first time I met him at a fighter meeting in 2001, and he described to me, with that extremely serious, sometimes taciturn facial expression of his, he described to me how, through love, he had become a stepfather at age 17, and how seriously he had taken that, how much it meant to him to have the responsibility of parenting his wife's children. And through the years, I've watched that family orientation as the really visible constant in his career. He's there at ringside with the entire family, with all the kids before every fight. He sits quietly, greets fans, but mostly he's there to be with them and show his love for them. And so it's entirely fitting that they'll be there at ringside Saturday night in Madison Square Garden for what he says is his last fight in his home away from home, where he has fought 9 times in his career and lost only once and scored some very meaningful, dramatic victories. He's looking for one last signature win at the Garden in front of a largely Puerto Rican crowd on which to go out.
Now, Miguel Cotto, his career, when you look at what he's accomplished, I feel like he's always going to be known for being one of the most exciting fighters. The three best fighters that he's ever faced in his life, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, and Canelo, he lost to. What's his legacy going as far as how great of a fighter he was? What will he be remembered as?
I think there'll always be an asterisk. And I would point out to you that the three losses you cited, all of them, you know, legitimate, real losses, took place after his loss in the first fight with Antonio Margarito, in a fight in which almost all of us at ringside now conclude and agree that he was beaten up for several rounds in what amounted to a public mugging by a guy who had bricks in his gloves. And so one of the things that I say about Miguel is that for the first 5 rounds of the first Margarito fight, he was the best he had ever been. He was seeking to prove that night that he was the best fighter in the world, that he was every bit as good as or even better than Mayweather and Pacquiao. And for the first 5 rounds of that fight, he was proving it. The crispness of his combinations, the fluidity of what he was doing, it was brilliant stuff. But then he began to succumb in the face of what Margarito was bringing. And at the end of the evening, it appeared he had simply been beaten down by a bigger, stronger man. And then 6 months later, when Margarito was caught with the attempt to load his gloves in the dressing room before the fight against Shane Mosley in Los Angeles, we began to realize that that was something else that might have happened to Miguel Cotto that night. So I think you always have to look at his career through that filter. And he was as competitive as anyone against Pacquiao at that stage of the game. He was as competitive as anyone against Floyd at that stage of the game, but he didn't have enough left at that moment to beat either of those two guys. I think at the end of the day, he's a passionate fighter. He's a guy with real devotion to his craft. He had a lot of talent. When he got himself back into a situation with a trainer who could really improve him, Freddie Roach, toward the end, he shocked a lot of people by proving he could still do things that a lot of us didn't think he could do. And he has every reason to be tremendously satisfied with his career as he goes out. His stoicism in the face of what happened against Margarito is stunning to me. I don't know if I could put it away the way he has put it away, but he managed to move past it and go on and has had a tremendously creditable career since that time, as well as before.
His impact on boxing, particularly pay-per-view, is massive because he is the draw out of Puerto Rico. Is there someone who can carry that flag going forward and become a big-time pay-per-view draw out of Puerto Rico?
Well, that's interesting. It's a really interesting question because if you look carefully, you know, leave aside the economic factor of pay-per-view, but in terms of having a bond with the audience, an emotional bond with the audience, a romance, as it were, with the audience. You can start with Carlos Ortiz and Jose Torres back in the 50s and 60s, and then you go through Wilfredo Gomez, Wilfred Benitez, Felix Trinidad. You arrive at the doorstep of Miguel Cotto. He was faced with a great deal of responsibility coming out of the Olympics in 2000 because it was clear that he would have to be the guy to inherit Trinidad's identity in relation to the audience in Puerto Rico and see if he could keep that string of legends going. And he did. He lived up to that task. He fulfilled his responsibility. But I don't see a Puerto Rican fighter at this moment who stands to be in that line of succession. This will be the first time in decades when we don't have a superstar Puerto Rican near the top of the masthead in boxing. And perhaps someone yet will emerge. A lot of people thought it was going to be Felix Verdejo. His career seems to have flattened out early. And it's because of that that Miguel will be missed by Puerto Ricans as badly as he's going to be missed.
Tell me a little bit about his opponent. I don't know much about him, admittedly. I was looking at his record, and the best fighter he's fought was obviously Jesse Vargas, and he got stopped in that fight. What kind of a fighter is Saddam Ali?
Well, when he knocked out Juan Carlos Abreu in Atlantic City on the undercard of Sergey Kovalev versus Bernard Hopkins in November of 2014, that was a shock to a lot of people, and it was an indication that Saddam Ali was maybe better than we had understood him to be. He was a member of the United States Olympic team in 2008. He has a one-loss career, that loss being the knockout against Jesse Vargas. But I think the functional reality about Saddam Ali going into this fight is that he's had 26 fights, and only once did he ever weigh in at more than 150 pounds. That was more than 20 fights ago, way back toward the beginning. And Cotto has been over 150 pounds for several years now. So at the end of the day, there's a clear dividing line here. Saddam Ali, a pretty good boxer, is significantly smaller and less powerful than Miguel Cotto. And Cotto, for that reason, is a very heavy favorite, no pun intended, going into the fight.
Jim, before we let you go, I want to congratulate you. I saw, I guess it was maybe a month or two ago, you signed another extension to remain with HBO and remain the voice of boxing, which I think is great. I think you do a fantastic job with it, and as well as the show that you do, The Fight Game, is really important to boxing. So I wanted to congratulate you on that, Jim.
Thank you for watching The Fight Game. I've been very, very lucky to work at the One Network, which was the very best place for me to work based on my persona through all these years in broadcasting. I'm very grateful to HBO for the continued opportunity.
All right, that's Jim Lampley. You can see Saturday night, Saddam Ali takes on Miguel Cotto and Miguel Cotto's swan song, his last fight. Appreciate the time, Jim, and we will talk to you at the next fight.
All right, talk to you later on.
There you go. That's Jim Lampley.
All right, guys, you want to get – we got Aubrey Theodi on? Oh, all right, man. Let's talk to Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Aubrey, how's it going, man?
Hey, guys. Beautiful evening, sunshine, and birds are singing.
Tell us what you guys have going on with Toys for Tots.
I mean, we definitely have the Toys for Tots kicking into gear. As a matter of fact, we're getting the whole team ready today. Have a new unwrapped toy for the children. You get a free room of carpet cleaning and a $100 free speed drive. So two freebies with any purchase. A new unwrapped toy. We make sure the toys get to the kids. A lot of times we work with the Marine Corps, and we help the Marines help the kids get toys. But we work, no matter what, this time of year, distributing toys. We collect them. We give about $150 worth of work away for free. It's all pretty much labor-intensive, so you don't have to, you know, the machine's already there. We're doing the three-room special, or we're doing an air duct, a leather, a drapery, a tapestry, a wool rug, a carpet repair where they are working, and then if you have a new unwrapped toy, we'd give away a free room, a $100 free speed drive, $150 worth of work, 281 Dirt Free with 1E, 281-347-8373. Now's the time to get the world's best technology, a little bit of warming in your heart, and make sure that you're super clean for the holidays.
All right, that's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. They'll help you out during this holiday season. Appreciate it, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
Thanks, guys.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, John Granato, Lance Erline, Charlie Polillo, Barry Laminack, Barry Warner, A.J. Hoffman, me and more. If you aren't on the sports map every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now at sportsmap.com. Before we get to the gym of the day, Cole saying, timing is everything in sports. Not Taggart's fault. Both Florida and FSU opened up in the same year after he signed at Oregon. Not a reason to bash a guy for taking a dream destination job. And I said, yeah, it is a reason to bash a guy, in my opinion. For one year at a major school where they've committed to you and you've gone out and recruited kids to play there. I'm sorry. I said the same thing about Kiffin. Said the same thing about Todd Graham. If I'm taking a job like that, it's one thing, even, yeah, you know, Graham, I'd give a little bit of a pass on because he left Rice for Tulsa. But if you're taking a job at a major school like Oregon and then bailing after a year, just like Lane Kiffin bailed on Tennessee after a year. I don't care if it's your destination job. If you really wanted that job, you should have stayed at USF another year because you knew there's a good chance Florida was going to be open.
Yeah.
And you know, his point is, well, that would mean you could never switch jobs because you make a new commitment every recruiting cycle. No. That's oversimplifying it, Cole. You could switch jobs, but you can't switch jobs after 1 year. If you do that, then frankly, I just don't respect you. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, it's fair. I don't feel the same way.
And I get the whole do what's best for you thing, but by the same token.
But I also, this is where it's weird for me because I also feel like kids should be, if your coach leaves, kids should be allowed to transfer.
Well, I think they should be allowed to transfer without any penalty anyway. I think that's a different animal, and I think they're different issues. I don't think the NCAA is consistent on either one. I think it's bull bleep that a coach can bail whenever he wants, but the players can't. If they want to go play for that coach, they should be able to. I mean, that's they should be able to transfer once without any penalty, in my opinion. You know, even after 1 year. All right. But hey, that's my opinion. You can disagree with
everybody's
it.
Got one.
I'm more than happy to disagree with you on stuff. I don't want anybody agreeing with everything I say. That would be stupid. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Wow, that was a rarity.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure you've had disagreements with your wife.
Never.
She ever thrown anything at you?
Yeah, a lamp.
She threw a lamp at you?
Yeah, threw a lamp.
Hmm. She never threw a baby at you, though, right?
No.
Well, apparently that's what happened during a disagreement between Heidi Ross and her boyfriend. Apparently they got into an argument. She threw her 3-week-old son at him.
Oof.
Yelled, "Take your bleeping son." This was in New Orleans. And she had fractured the child's skull by doing it.
Oh, no. But the injury, he didn't catch it?
Well, I guess not. He needs to work on that. Authorities later said
could have been bad aim.
The injuries are not life-threatening. Yeah, it could have been a Tom Savage-type throw. Let's not put it all on the receiver here. It could definitely have been on the quarterback. But she later told detectives she may have dropped the infant during the incident. Jefferson Parish officers charged her with cruelty to a juvenile. She's being held at a correctional center without bond. Let this be a lesson. Do not throw your baby when you're pissed off.
Don't throw babies.
And that is your Zadok.
I feel like that's parenting 101.
Yeah. And that's the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Nick, if I've learned anything from the real world, there's no such thing as loyalty when it comes to companies, so I say do what you want. And again, I disagree. I do think there's, I don't know. I don't try
I'll
to.
I'll be honest. I would not leave Oregon after 1 year for those jobs because Oregon's a big time enough job that you can still do really well there. And if you do really well at Oregon, those jobs, Florida or Florida State, those jobs like that will be open again later. But if you fail at Florida or Florida State, everyone's going to remember that you burned your last employer.
Yeah, and do you think?
Like that's part of your it's reputation stuff is what it boils down to.
And it says, would you not take a massive pay raise if it was on the table? I've turned down much more money to go other places. I'm happy where I am. You know, we do real well here. I have freedom to do whatever the hell I want. And so, yeah, I would turn down a massive pay raise. That was about 4 years ago I had a chance. Or no, it was 2 years ago. It was last year. It was a year ago. I had a chance to go to Colorado for significantly more money to run a really big company. And, you know, basically, that's when I signed my new deal. Just came and said, look, I've got this opportunity. Just give me something that's going to be enough to make me happy.
And they gave you Sports Map.
Among other things, yeah. They did. But
here you go.
Yeah. Good luck with that. No, I mean, everybody's different. I don't expect anybody to be that way. But I also feel some loyalty to this company because they have taken care of us from the time we got here. And it wasn't always that way at the last company. If we were still at Cumulus, it'd be a totally different thing. But it's not. And, so I've been given a lot of great opportunities here, which I appreciate. And I'm not going to bail on them just because you know, somebody comes and offers me a lot more money. I mean, that's, but that, I don't, and I think in these college jobs, especially, these guys are getting well compensated no matter where they are. So I do think that has something to do with it. Yeah, if you're working at a company that's treating you like garbage and you've been there 6 months and you get a better opportunity, I have no problem with that. But I also think what they do is at a little bit different level. And, you know, maybe that's fair, maybe it's not. But I do think when you get to a certain point, you know, to me, would I have loved to have lived in Colorado? Absolutely. That's one of my places on my list.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I even considered it. But when it came down to it, it was an opportunity to do what I want to do here and continue to build what we've built here. And, you know, I enjoy what I do. Why mess with that? You know, why, it, things are, like, Tom Herman was having fun at UH. He could have done that forever.
Could have.
But he wanted the bigger gig, and good for him.
Do you think he regrets now?
No, I don't think he has any regrets, but ask me again in a year. Ask me in 2 years.
If he loses again, he's going to have regrets.
Yeah, and what if, do you think Charlie Strong, do you think he's going to get another big job right away after what happened in Texas? Probably not.
Well, he didn't. That's why he went to USF.
Yeah, he went to USF, but he had a really good season there, but he also did it with Taggart's guys. So 3 years from now, if he's 7-5, 8-4, you think he's going to get a job like Tennessee or someplace like that?
Man, I can't picture. I wouldn't leave Oregon after a year. I mean, it's if their quarterback would have stayed healthy all year, they would have been right in the mix in the Pac-12. That's a good spot to be. The Pac-12 is so wide open.
And hey, that part of it too is if you think there's a better opportunity. Tom Herman had opportunities after year one at UH, but he also thought, you know, Texas might be open next year.
Yep.
So he stayed another year. And, I mean, that's the choice you make. And I respect guys who do that, and I don't respect guys who just jump around from job to job because, oh, it happens to be available, Todd Graham. And sooner or later, that comes back to bite you. All right. Guys, Texas Mattress Makers, guess what they're doing? You miss out on Black Friday? They're taking it into this week because that's what they do. And you can walk into the factory showroom right now. Right now, today, right this very minute, or tomorrow, or this weekend, and get 26% off any mattress sets in the showroom. And at Texas Mattress Makers, you get comfort and support and more with Black Friday specials. And guess what? You're already saving 50% off retail prices guaranteed. So if you're going to one of those other mattress places, you're already paying 50% more, right? Now you can go to the showroom and get 26% off when you're already getting 50% off. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. And you're going to get quality because they make the beds right there at Texas Mattress Makers and sell them directly to you. So you're getting custom fitted. And they're great people. They're so involved in the community. You're not going to be sorry if you go to Texas Mattress Makers. Make sure you tell them you're a Blitzer because they love the Blitzers there. Go visit them today. TexasMattressMakers.com or 4619 Navigation. They're at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation. And handcrafted quality and custom fitted. Nowhere else but with Uval and Texas Mattress Makers. And I cannot tell you enough how much I love my mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers and how what a difference it's made in the way I sleep. Plus, I just love doing business with these guys. Go by TexasMattressMakers.com. The best sleep at the best price guaranteed.